All right. I think we're live. All right. So today's video, I titled the I Don't Care What You Think muscle, how to build the I Don't Care What You Think muscle. So I want to practice in public what I preach or what I think about or what I talk about. You know, so many times we're saying things and it's do as I say, not as I do. And so for me, I recognize that there's a lot that myself, I know intellectually, and this may be you, I don't know, where you know what you quote unquote want to do, should do, would like to do, but you just don't do it. And you know different. You go to a seminar, you go to a podcast, you go to a summit, you go to a workshop, you go to something and you get all excited about it, but then life goes back to normal and life goes back to normal and life goes back to normal. And so I talk a lot about going from being an MIA guy, a massive imperfect action taking guy who just, and I was with my brother this weekend, and this idea that at times ignorance is bliss, right? You know, my brother was talking about, I don't know, some rappers or something, they were saying they're just horrible, but they don't really think they're horrible. They think they're great. And yet there are people that really love them and they keep putting their stuff out and people keep buying. And I remember being with my grandpa at the mall once and, you know, he brought up Miley Cyrus and it was all this like hate around her, yet she had just gone number one in like, I don't know how many countries. It was crazy. But so I want to build in public this idea and help you potentially be inspired to do the same thing. Because what I'm doing right now really is experimenting, right? There was a book named by Austin Kleon named Steal Your Work. No, I'm forgetting it. But it's Austin Kleon and he has one called Show Your Work. Or Steal Like a Great Artist. That's it. Steal Like a Great Artist and then there's Show Your Work. And so one thing I've talked about a lot is that when it comes to my coaching, I do a lot of what I do in private. But when it came to my video production company, I did a lot of what I did in public. And what I found to be interesting is all the great opportunities I had were because I did something great or did something in general in public with my production company. And just since I've kicked back up these lives in the last week, I've already gotten opportunities that were not coming in because I was doing everything in private. Imagine that you've got the greatest movie on earth and you just show it to yourself on a TV by yourself in your basement, right? Or you're writing these things. And I always say, I don't want dreams to die in hearts, heads, and hard drives. Well, I thought to myself, well, I got to where I got to in life in the past because I didn't do that. I shared publicly. I took imperfect action. I didn't know anything about anything. I just did. And the more I learned, the more I knew, the more life happened, the more things I experienced, then interestingly enough, at times, the less I did, the less I shared publicly. And even though I know by and large, I've put a lot of things out. So this isn't my like first live and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm worried what people are going to say to me. Now people may say mean things. They may say nice things. They may not say anything at all. But I've put out plenty of things and I've had all those. So I'm not super worried about that. But what has been implanted in my mind, so today too, I've got this open here. These are clips. I watch a lot of content and these are a lot of 60-second clips. I don't know. There's no way to easily find out how many. There's probably got to be 1,000 here. So there's an enormous amount of clips from a variety of different people. And I like to consume a variety pack of people. And what I learned recently or thought about recently is I'm not consuming only for me. I'm consuming to help my clients. I'm consuming to help others. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to just start opening this up from time to time and sharing. And one of the, I don't care what you think muscle building it is that there are lots of people out there that when it comes to creating content, when it comes to promoting yourself, when it comes to marketing your services, they've got the right ways and the wrong ways, and they found their way. And what I found is there are people who struggled. It's a version of what I'll probably share here in the future, and I'm sharing right now, is there's people who have struggled, right? And they've struggled, and they've struggled, and they've struggled, and they've struggled, and they tried all these things, but they didn't quit, and they didn't give up. So then what happened? They found a way that worked for them. Then what do? They sell a course, they write a book, they do whatever, and they start telling everybody. But what I found is a lot of these people had all these people telling them a way to do something. It didn't work for them. They find a way that works for them that might be a conglomerate of all these things. And then they tell everybody that this is what will work for you. And so I am not here to tell people what to do, how to do it. I believe through all this content that I've consumed, the thousands and thousands of hours of content from different people, that there are truly many, 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 many ways to find success, to share, to write, to draw, to create, to speak, to inspire. And so what I got around, though, for a decade plus was people, I joked with my brother about this and he laughed, is people who said I didn't need to wear glasses. Anybody ever told you, you don't need that, you don't need to do that, you need to do this, this is the right way? You get excited about something, you tell them, and they're like, I don't know about that. I think this would be the better way. You know what? Here's what I would do if I were you. I wouldn't wear those glasses because I don't need glasses. Look how well I'm doing. And I'm like, well, my friend, like, I can't see that well without the glasses. And so that's what I was allowing to infiltrate me. People who were well-intentioned, people who wanted to help, people who wanted support, people who did really well in life. And yet we project onto others what we like or don't like. So if you're doing something that I don't like or don't think you should do, it's not because it's bad or wrong or that you actually shouldn't do it. It's that I shouldn't do it, that I don't want to do it, that I don't like it. And so for me, what I am practicing in public right now isn't whether or not people are going to care what I have to say, but that's part of it. But also just doing different varieties of inspiration, content. Now, granted, I haven't shared a clip yet, which was my main intention for getting on here, but this is exactly what I love to do, is be able to come on here and flow, right? That's what people love from me. But I also want to share some of these clips. I share these things with my clients when certain things come up. I pull open different clips and hold on a second. Where's that? One second. There we go. So I pull open different clips and send them because I'm all about context. To me, my end reacher says details matter. And so I collect all these different clips, all this information, because when I'm working with a client in private, I'm able to pick from all these different things. I get triggered by something they say, and then I can go share a clip of somebody that says this. I can say it. And it really is a powerful thing. So I wanted to get on here today and experiment with sharing some clips, seeing what happens, right? That's what I want to encourage you to do, is share things, do things, try things, experiment, and toss the things that don't work, right? We don't have to be so locked in and committed. And that's what I did in my life to succeed originally, was I followed my curiosity. I experimented. I took imperfect action. I tried things. As I tried things, I found things that worked and I found things that didn't work. And so what I want to continue to do more of is experiment with my inspiration and my content creation and these things in public and find things that work, but not that just work for other people and then do more of it. Because I think the greatest thing you can do for yourself is do things and find things that can align. The worst thing that's happened to a lot of YouTubers is they get a video that hits that they maybe even they were excited to create, but they maybe don't want to create 7,000 versions of it. And then that's what they get, quote unquote, stuck doing. Right? Or people who do particular types of videos and they the client loves it, but they don't love it. It becomes unsustainable. It leads to burnout. And so we have to find this dance between doing things that we can probably do somewhat sustainably and things that also people like. Because if we're doing things that no one likes and we love it, well, that's great for our soul, but probably not great for our pocketbook, right? Now, to find something that is great for both is very challenging. It's very challenging. So let me open up some of these clips today and just pull out some of these things, because typically, to some degree, whether these people are happy in their life is unknown, but to the degree that they're being featured on, you know, big podcasts, that to some degree they have higher levels of financial success, is very interesting to me. And so I'm just always clipping all these little thoughts, right? And so let me pull open... Let me pull open this from Noah Kagan. I've known Noah for a pretty long time. I met him at Mastermind Talks back in the day. And this is a podcast with him and Tim Ferriss. This is about when you're reaching out to people. So in regards to people being afraid to follow up, to reach out, some of the greatest things I've had in my life from, you know, my wife, being one of them, to working with Tim Ferriss himself and working with Tony Robbins, was the fact that I sent an email and I wasn't afraid to bother them. One of the things with my wife's Etsy store is we're always following up with people. And so we got to adopt this mentality that isn't I'm annoying, I'm bothering, whatever. You know, sometimes you'd have to message somebody 27 times in a day to actually bother them, but messaging them once and never reaching out to them ever again, not necessarily a bleep on the radar. Like for me, sometimes I'm definitely going to forget something outside of my closest family and my clients from a random person sending me a message if they don't follow back up. So let's share this. If you're on right now, let me know if you can hear this. It's my first time sharing one of these clips, and I want to make sure that
me personally is I won't negotiate with terrorists. I will not negotiate with myself. Mm-hmm. So within 3 seconds, I have to make the decision to do it. Just go do it. Don't even think about it. And then by the time you do it, you're like, that was never so scary. Mm-hmm. And I still have the fear. It's not like at points it goes away. Just get a little bit easier over time. So this lady was sitting having breakfast with her husband, and I'm like, oh, I'm bothering her.
Can you hear this right now? Could you guys hear that audio? Anybody who happens to be on, show yourself. I'm just going to make sure the audio is playing okay. If you just heard that, if you could just say yay or nay. Before I play a minute-long clip and more minute-long clips and nobody can hear it. If nobody says anything, I'll keep going on.
Definitely bother. And that's actually a really misconception in big in sales. We're like, we're bothering the other people. Because it's fascinating. I go up to her. I'm like, I'm really sorry to bother you guys, but I love your shoes. She's like, thank you so much. I was like, do you mind telling me where you got them from? It's like, yeah, I got them from JCPenney's. I was like, awesome. I think my girlfriend might like those. Have a great day. And she's like, thank you so much. That was really nice of you. I was like, okay. Went back to my chair. And so that's one of the misconceptions in sales, is that we're actually harassing or bothering people when maybe it's actually a good thing. Mm-hmm. And people need to maybe reconsider their perception of what a sale is.
Quick pause.
So one of the things I would say about this as well is that everything in the way I coach from is that we hear these things in these clips like this. And so one can assume that they're never bothering somebody, and that's simply a reframe. That's true, but you could also be bothering somebody. So there's this delicate dance between, well, what is bothering and what is not bothering. Well, I always want to assume positive intent first, right? That's the most important thing for me. Where is my intention for doing this? And what I find is that if you come from a negative frame, you tend to won't do anything. So for me, thinking, well, I shouldn't get on here and do this. Right? There's a particular way I should create this content. There's a particular way I should edit this content. There's a particular way I should intro the content. There's a particular way. There's a particular way. So the more I think that there's a particular way, then I won't just do it at all, because the more noise I get on that, the more baggage I get on it, the heavier it is, then the more it's eh. And a lot of people who grew on YouTube or these different platforms initially did it because they just did something they wanted to do, and it happened to catch on. I don't find as many creatives intentionally doing these things. And so we've got to watch from the aspect of, move this thing really quickly on my screen. All right, there we go. And so we've got to play with these things, right? What did I just do there, actually? I'll just give full transparency. On my live streamer thing here, it says how many people are on. And so what I've done is I've covered that up. Because literally, and these are little hacks, right? Literally, it is a trigger to see how many people are on. The more people are on, I'll tend to definitely stay longer. The less people are on, typically if it's just nobody, then I'm like, what am I doing here, right? Knowing that somebody can watch this afterwards. But I like to do it live simply because for me, all the extra steps to get this content online are things I may not do, and especially without help. So something I talk about is the Red Sea. Reduce, eliminate, delegate, collaborate. Especially for neurodivergent people, ADHD people, which I'm going to go back here for a second to the clips. This guy, I just found this app called Speechify, and it's absolutely, absolutely incredible. And, you know, There's so much great stuff there. And what's one I'm going to say? Give me more than you receive. Here's one.
Engaged with me because they wanted to recruit me to the company potentially. And I sent them this video of me pitching this product that was really good. But still, I don't care. In my opinion, you know, it's a great thing for Jack to be friends with me because I will introduce him to a bunch of other cool things in his life. Yeah. And that's the frame that any of you guys listening to this should have when you interact with a new person. You know, none of it matters. It just matters, like, do you come into things with good intention? And as long as you give more than you receive, which is what you should try to do all the time, your life will be amazing. And here's the
So give more than you receive and your life will be amazing. So I love this because really that has been something that I have always done. People have asked me, you know, what was my intention with reaching out to Tim Ferriss? What was my intention of reaching out to Tony Robbins? You know, people go, is this somebody that I should reach out to? And I go, well, that depends. When I reach out to these people, I didn't reach out with an intention to get something from them, right? And so I think that there's at times a there's this tit for tat, especially in the creative space, right? And the problem is because a lot of creatives get asked to do things, right? Somebody sees you doing video, photography, design, whatever, and then somebody comes to you and go, I got this big audience. I've got all these plans. I've got all these things, and they want you to do something. And a lot of times those people are takers. A lot of times those people won't give back to you. They can, sometimes they do, but I find that that's where it upsets a lot of creatives because they want that breakout thing to happen, right? They want that thing that's going to help them succeed, win, make more money. And so when somebody comes and they're very convicted, they've got a lot of conviction and excitement around this idea. And they're like, I like what you do. And I'd love you to do this for me. But you know what? I don't really have a budget right now. You know what? I don't have this, that, and the other thing. Most of that doesn't turn out. And what happens is it creates an expectation in the creative that if they do this thing, they're going to get something. And typically what they're going to get is not the doing of the thing, it's the thing that they're going to get from doing the thing, if that makes sense, right? So if I go do this thing that I maybe didn't want to do, wasn't excited to do, wasn't thinking about doing, but it's something I'm capable of doing. So you go and do this thing for somebody, but the promise from the person you're doing it for is that they're going to do something for you. They're going to give you more business, give you more leads, give you more opportunities. They're going to pay you. They're going to give you people that are going to pay you. Well, when that happens, right? When you go and do that, and that's the expectation in your mind, then of course you're upset, disappointed, discouraged, frustrated when that doesn't happen. And then what happens to your mindset when you go to do other things in the future? Or there are opportunities that could be great to do for free, but you don't do because you're like, I'm not wasting my time on that. I've seen so many creatives, so many video business owners, videographers, that they have all this gear, they have all these skills, they have all this talent, but they won't do the thing because they couldn't get somebody to pay them to do it. Couldn't get them pay them to do it in the amount that they wanted, right? So they're like, oh, well, I didn't bring XYZ, even though they own it, because I didn't get paid for that. Well, I only got $300 for this. Oh, it was a free project. And then what they can't figure out how to do is they want $5,000, $10,000. They want a lot more than they're currently getting. And they never really showcase what it is they want to do because they can't figure out how to get people to pay them to do it. And so there was another clip here that I had from Tim Ferriss. Let's see if I can pull this up, which I thought was great. Hopefully I saved. See, sometimes my titles don't tell me. Here we go.
Triple underscore the free work piece, because there's a lot of righteous indignation online about this. Crops up a lot with like spec work on behalf of artists and things like that, where it's like, I'll never work for free. Like, yeah, people are being exploited, blah, blah, blah. And there are cases where that's true. Everything I have done has been built on free work. If I look at all of my biggest wins, I can't think of a single exception, in the sense that first job out of college, why did I get that? Because a guest speaker who was the CEO, a young guy, came in, talked to our class. I wrote my entire term paper on that business because I wanted to do a free competitive analysis and show how valuable I could be to the business, right? I wrote my entire term paper on that. Free work, right? If I look at 4-hour work week, how'd that come about? Guest lectures twice a year, tons of prep, took it super seriously, got
Right. And I only save out 60-second chunks. So ultimately, Tim's career was built on free work. Ironically, a lot of my video career where I made the most amount of money was built on the fact that I did a free video for Tim. I did a second free video for Tim, and I never got paid actually from Tim. But leveraging the opportunity to work for him and then showcasing that work led to an enormous amount of paid opportunities. But I treated those as I treated the majority of the things that I have done in my career with whatever skill set I'm capable of, I want to do, right? I want to be proud of what I create. So if I'm capable of a 2 right now, I'm not going to do a negative like job. I'm going to do the 2. But if I'm capable of a 10, I want to do a 10. If I'm capable of an 8, I'm going to do an 8. I'm going to do whatever I'm capable of. And I'm going to make sure I say this too. I definitely want questions, feedback. I know I was on here the other day and I had a chunk of people on, and then it's like, there was a whole bunch of comments at the very end when they, you know, saying thank you when I was done. But they were all just kind of lurking. Please leave comments, interact, send me messages. My ultimate goal with all this is to create from you. And that's what I'm playing around with. Even right now, I want to do some of these. I don't know how often I'll do them. I'm kind of playing with different things right now whilst I get to a place where there's a lot more people available so that I get a lot more Q&A and people in the chat and potentially wanting to be pulled up on camera so that I can do coaching, because that's really my sweet spot. But these clips are part of my coaching. So I wanted to play around with this as part of the I don't care what you think muscle. Like, I'm just got to practice. I want you to practice. What is that thing for you? So yeah, with the free work, it's just something that has been a big competitive advantage for me. But there's good free work and bad free work, right? And so the bad free work typically is the work that you're asked to do by somebody else who's promising the moon, the stars, and the universe, right? Because I find that, again, most of those people are takers, and most of the time it sets an expectation in your mind that you're going to get something rather than just the act of doing the thing that you may enjoy. And so if just the act of doing it isn't worth it to you, and you're only doing it because you think you're going to get something, you're going to probably set yourself up for disappointment. See, when I went and did the Tim Ferriss video, I wasn't doing it expecting anything more than to meet him, which happened. But I wasn't doing it because I thought it was going to make my business something other than it was, that I was going to succeed on all these incredible levels and it was going to take me all these places. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. I just did it because I wanted to meet him. I wanted to give back, right? I thought that he had already given to me through his books, and so I wanted to give back to him. So when I see people where their intention is, I'm doing this because I think it'll make me a lot of money. I'm doing this because I think this person will give me a lot of exposure. It's not that it can't or it won't do those things. But when it's the only reason you're doing it, you don't even really like the person. You don't even really want to do the thing you're doing. What happens if it does pop off? What happens if you do too much of these things that you hate doing, but it helps you break out in your career? Will you have the courage? Will you have the ability to then do what you want? Or will you be quote unquote stuck doing a lot of work that you hate? I think at times there's nothing like getting paid a lot of money to do something that you don't like. And you feel like you've got these handcuffs. They talk about the golden handcuffs, right? People who are in, Amar, what's up, brother, man? God dang, it's been a while, buddy. I see it all the time. We've all seen it. People, I mean, anybody who's in corporate has quit your job. If you were making 6 figures, why'd you quit your job? If it's about money, if it's truly the number one thing is about money, then why do people left and right quit their corporate jobs making multiple 6 figures? To go do something that may never even earn them $50,000 or $60,000 a year. It may earn them a lot more. But what you'll find is there's a lot more people who can't sustain doing something purely for the money, whilst their soul's dying inside every day. Now, the ultimate is to be able to create and do that which you love and make great money doing it. That's the ultimate. The next ultimate is simply being able to do the things that light you up and still be able to survive. Because I think the worst thing that happens to people is getting stuck in situations where they're making a lot of money and every day their soul dies a little. And my goal with what I'm doing here is to continually experiment in ways that allow me to speak in public and share in public and help in public the people who I will never get to coach one-on-one. I will never speak to one-on-one. I will never get to work with in private. I will never get to meet. I will never know that you exist. But I know and I've seen in the past that my voice, my enthusiasm, my encouragement can inspire somebody to do something they hadn't done before, to think in a way they hadn't thought before, to shift their mindset, to shift their perspective. And I know that I am damn good at that. But I know that if I'm doing it to the walls it's not helping anybody, right? If I'm just consuming all these, I've got all these clips. If I'm just consuming all these clips, I call it content constipation, right? If I just can keep consuming content and I don't share that content, I don't share my thoughts on it, then I can't help anybody else. And I want to make an impact with the things that I, with the things that I learn. So it's finding this dance between the fact that will the way that I create this, if I don't have fancy edits, if I don't do the right intro, if I don't do these things right now, will it maybe not reach as many people? That could be true, right? But at the same time, if all of that prevents me from doing it at all, I can guarantee you it doesn't reach anyone. So there could be a better way. But just because there's a better way, if you won't do that way doesn't work. That way is not better. I've seen so many people who are pursuing paths that have the potential to make a lot more money, but simply because you're not genuinely excited or interested or whatever in that path doesn't give you the potential it has. You know, it's back to one size fits all versus what size fits you. All I care about is finding what fits and works for you. It's like a custom tailor. Like, you know, I want to be able to get clothes that fit you really well, that you feel great in, right? I want to get you a life that you fit really well in, that feels really good, right? Versus you creating a life that is so out of whack and so out of balance that even though one area is amazing, all other areas suck, right? Now, there's always going to be this ebb and flow of balance, but to the degree that we get so out of kilter, and sometimes we're following people, right? I love Alex Ramosi, and people bring him up, and people share these quotes and different things, and I have as well, and I've got clips from him as well, and I love listening to him. But I have to listen with a lens from all these people that I know there's other people listening to these people who take things far out of context. So sometimes we're listening to people, we've got a wife and five kids, and we're following somebody who doesn't have any kids, has no family, has a wife that works in their business doing the same thing, and they work 14 hours a day combined. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take little principles and little nuggets out of that. But again, it's kind of like saying, I don't need to wear glasses because you don't need to wear glasses. Well, no, I'm going to have to make some tweaks and adjustments. And if you wear glasses, I guarantee if you put my glasses on, they won't work that well because these are custom to my eyes, right? And so the thing is everybody talks about scale, 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 which I think I have a clip here that I was, here's one from Ferris around scale. I love this.
Very first episodes of Masters of Scale that Reid Hoffman did, he interviewed Brian Chesky of Airbnb. And it's a great episode. And one of the key tenets in the beginning for Airbnb was do things that don't scale. And those things tended to be highly manual, helping people take photographs of their places. And what they learned then led to a lot of what we've seen.
100%. I mean, even right. Think about yourself. I hope I recall correctly. I thought you super responded to everyone super early on. I recall you in the comments on your blog.
Oh, in the comments when I was building that community, for sure. I was highly responsive in the blog comments.
You were. I remember that. It stuck out to me. And that's exactly if people are like, well, how do I like have high touch and how do I do things at scale? That is literally it. So for me on YouTube, I still reply to my comments. Not every single one now because there's a lot. Yeah. But I reply to them. And guess what? When you get that message that someone actually connected with you. And this is great, especially if you're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 customers.
So there's something I love, right? Like at times we're seeing people where they are and repeating their behaviors and their actions when what got them there is not what they're currently doing most of the time, right? Most of the time, what people are doing is completely different than what they did to get there. And so right now, when you look at Ferris, he's not in replying to any comments. I don't think ever. I don't even know if his team does. But when he got started, he was to build this community, right? But this whole idea, and I think I have one more video about from him in regards to, here's another one, do things that don't scale.
I was highly responsive in the blog comments.
You were. I remember that. It stuck out to me. And that's exactly.
Actually, that one, was it another one here? Nope, I already had that one shared. So, but that's the thing. And they talked about doing these other things that, you know, don't scale at times. And I don't save every single clip, so there's things in my mind. But they were having this aspect where at times everybody scale. I want to see. I know what the one was. Here it was. There we go. This was it.
$100 billion company. There's a few things that have stood out from chatting with them. One, none of them became billionaires within 20 years. Hmm. Not one. Like, not paper money where it's coming up and down super quickly, or crypto billionaires where it can go away. It took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time. Number two, they all got rich. And this is kind of, people know these things, just like you said, like deathbed people know to spend more time with their family, but they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one. They all got rich in one way.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing. John Paul DeJoria, just Paul Mitchell hair care. Then he able to do it again, which is, we can talk about that. There's something there. Kinko's, just copiers. Larry Janeski, just basements. Right. Michael Hudner, just ships. But all of us are like, no, I'm going to diversify. But then you think about all these people, it's like, ah, they just did one thing. Two other things I would comment from billionaires, two to three. They're all entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't W-2 employees.
Okay. So I love this because he brings up the employee thing, and I keep seeing a lot of videos. This other guy, Austin Kleon, the show Your Work and Steal Like an Artist, he talks about literally being an employee. And so there's another thing, right? Like, he's trying to say to be a billionaire. Well, what I found through a bunch of surveys when I worked for different companies, and we've got thousands of people, you know, on calls and things, is that the average creative, the average creator, the average YouTuber, the average, and I don't want people necessarily to be average. I'm not about preaching average. But so many times we're, the whole shoot for the moon, at least you'll hit the stars kind of mentality, is that we hear these things like $1 billion, right? And they were all entrepreneurs. Sure, most people probably aren't going to be multi-gazillionaires being a W-2 employee. I understand that, right? But what happens is there's a lot of people who weren't quite built to be an entrepreneur, who are stressed out of their mind each and every single day attempting to be one because they think that's the best way to make money. And what I've seen and watching is there's people who think that is, truth, but there's people who don't. There's people who are retired at 45 who are now living a life that people want, but they didn't see their prior life, but they were building their thing on the side whilst they had their job. There's no right or wrong way to do this. But what I love is I've seen that as a theme a lot, right? At times, there are people who diversify and do well, but not a lot, not as many, because I always bring up like lighting, right? Like if I get closer and closer and closer to this light, the more and more it's going to kind of blow out my face, right? Can't see that. Probably God knows what that did. But the further I get away, look, it gets darker and darker and darker because I'm further away from that light. There's a light right here, right? And so the thing is people at times are following people who are using a laser-like focus, a laser, to get a result, right? And the problem is you're using diffusion, right? You're using a soft light. So this is a soft light. There's no harsh, harsh shadows behind me, right? But if I go into a basement that's pitch black and I take a laser light, it ain't going to do much for me, right? I'll be able to narrow in on one particular thing, but it's not going to light up and illuminate the entire room, right? I think I did this the other day. I think there's like 14 lights in my office. Like right now, there are two lights and one above me lighting this setup, right? But there's one like probably not even arm's length away that's kind of illuminating in front of me, right? And so the thing is at times we're following people who are operating like a laser, and we're not operating anything like a laser, and we're disappointed that we're not getting the results that laser-like people are getting. And it's like, well, what you're doing is not wrong, but again, the expectation you're putting on what you're doing is, meaning you're trying to get laser results using diffused light, or I'm using diffused light trying to get laser-like results, right? Vice versa. And so all it is recognizing that if you're given directions from somebody and they say, here's the path, we're both going to start at the same path. We both have the same skill sets. This isn't a complicated thing. You don't need to be hyper-educated. All you need to do is go, here's the path. Here's the map. Your GPS will get you there. You walk 8 hours a day for 4 miles per hour. And if you both did that side by side, both of you of completely different ages, races, religions, skill sets, anything could go and walk on this path 4 miles per hour at a time, 8 hours a day, and you're going to get to said destination or result in a week, right? So the problem is that there are people who then do that 4 miles per hour, 8 hours a day for a week, and they get to the result. And then there's other people who have the same instructions, have the same everything laid before them that could ultimately get a version of that result if they just did that thing. But they're like, you know what? That's pretty cool over there. I'm going to go over there. Oh, you know what? wait, where I started was cool. Wait, I'm going to go over there. Oh, look at that. And then before you know it, they've spent 5 years going everywhere, but the path that would get them to this result that they supposedly want, whilst simultaneously not being happy with all the little moves that they made all over because they're not where they said they wanted to be, even though their behavior was in complete opposition of what they said they wanted. And they used, you know, the diffused light thinking it was a laser. It's like, well, all you have to do is recalibrate your expectation, recalibrate your view on that. You can't have a laser illuminate a basement. You might have thousands and thousands of lasers, right, to do that. But that's what we have to look at. What are we doing and how are we doing it? And are we being given or creating expectations that are totally out of alignment for what we want? And then we're disappointed, frustrated, discouraged. You know, when I used to shoot a lot of weddings, I used to go in, you know, getting a full-blown plan of the day. A couple would tell me everything that was going to happen, when it was going to happen, the hours it was going to happen, dad's supposed to show up here, all these different things. And what happened for me is that I kept being super disappointed, discouraged, and frustrated because I would pick out songs ahead of time. I would plan shots. I would plan the edit. I would know where things are going to go. And as soon as I'm there at 8:30, because dad's going to be there at 9 and he was there at 8:15 and they finished the whole thing that was going to happen, I lost 30 seconds of my edit. And I would be disappointed. I'd be discouraged. I'd be frustrated. And so what I had to do over time, I'm a little slow to the uptick sometimes, is I had to realize, you know what? And I felt like I was also putting together cookie cutter. So it became it gave me a foundation to do something, observing other people's work, trying to emulate it, do what they did, go in, have a plan. That worked to a degree. It got me somewhere. But then over time, it got me frustrated. And so then I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to do what I do. And that became my selling point as well. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of videographers that are probably kind of cookie cutter. I used to go in thinking X, Y, Z, A, B, C was going to happen. And you know what now? Like, I just do my thing because it's a live event. We can't, if there's something you really, really want, I'm going to do my best. You can tell me about it, but I'm not going to plan 100% that it's going to happen because this isn't a plan. We're going to stop the day and rearrange and redo. This is, we're going to go with the flow. And that's when I had the most fun. That's when I had the most fulfillment. That's when I was the most free. That's when I made the most money. That's when I was the most joy. That's when I was most happiest. That's when people love my product the most, right? But it took me going through that different phase to get to that place where I thought, wow, you know, when I go in here with this super duper plan, I end up discouraged and disappointed most of the time because the plan doesn't work. And what I find is that when it comes to even the story and the paradox of what I just had, is there is no perfect path. There is not just do this thing to a T and you absolutely 100% will succeed. I can guarantee you if you're trying to bake a cake and you want it to taste a certain way, that there's probably certain ingredients and certain temperatures that are going to get you there pretty close most of the time, right? If there's 12 ingredients and you're supposed to put them all in first in a certain way, in a certain order, in a certain sequence in the oven for 25 minutes at 300 degrees, and you decide to put 6 of the ingredients in and put it in the oven for 45 minutes at 450 degrees, you're probably not going to get that cake, right? So there are things that matter to follow some sort of a process, procedure, a framework, a structure, right? But we have to identify what are those things that those matter and what are the things that don't. And so I'm constantly in my life thinking about what are those things that matter and what are those things that don't. Because sometimes we're following supposed steps for things that really the people we're following are only trying to reverse engineer how they got there. And by and large, it's not repeatable. They're not building an IKEA desk, right? When you look at people who have succeeded in business and what they're telling you that they did, all you can really extract is their principles and maybe their mindsets, but not exactly to a T what they did, because what they did, when they did it, how they did it, where they did it, who they did it with, all those things are uncontrollable. And likely their whole life experience and the way they think, the way they do, the way they have connection, all that is different from you. Therefore, you're not given this. They're giving you the roadmap, but you can't go down their path because you are not them and you weren't doing what they were doing 10 years ago when they did it. And so you can take principles from it, but you can't take the exactness of it. Because I've found, again, as I started this entire thing with today, is that at times we're simply we're following right and wrong ways to do something. And to the degree that it does or doesn't align with you will be to the degree you do or do not show up. So for me, thinking that there is a perfect way to create this content right now and to put something out that might inspire someone, impact someone, make a difference, help shift their perspective, I have to find the way that works for me, because just because there's better ways to work it, if I won't work it, it won't work. And I've tried a lot of different things. And so I'm much better off the cusp, open this up, just start doing things. That's so much easier for me to do and do regularly than it is for me to plan and prepare this, because I'm not that kind of person. All the success I've had has not been derived from me being a really structured, prepared, planned individual. For some people, that's how they succeed. And when I learn from people who succeed that way, when you learn from somebody who is a complete opposite and you're trying to emulate them to a T versus take their principles, right, their mindsets, their attitudes, their perspectives on things, that is great stuff to learn from just about anybody. Get a whole, I like to learn from a variety of people. I want people, I would never want their life. I don't want anything to do with what they do or how they think, but I can learn something, because when I consume this, I have clients that I can pull from who are consuming from these people. And so I can help shift their perspective to something that's empowering rather than disempowering, because a lot of people are very black and white, linear thinkers at times, right? So they see things this or that, either or. Well, that can be an advantage. I find that most times it's a disadvantage. Because if the way that you've got in front of you isn't working, then you don't see any other ways, because the other way you don't want to do. And so for me, I'm getting back to a place of the MIA though again, and recognizing there's lots of ways to do something. I intellectually know that, but getting on here today is a practice of that, because I have to rewire my mind to know that it's okay to do things my way. I've done it in the past. I know it intellectually, but it takes practice. So getting on here today is a practice of that muscle. Right? So what can you do today that you need to practice to build that muscle that I don't care what you think, that muscle that I'm going to do it my way, that muscle that says I can create things I want to create. I can do in business what I want to do. Because if you're so paralyzed in overthinking the right ways to do it, but it's preventing you from doing it, then it's not working. If the courses and the programs and step-by-steps that you're buying are preventing you from acting, then they're not working. It doesn't matter how well they work for others. It doesn't matter how great they are. If you won't work it, it won't work. And so what I've found is that I can have all these great things, but if I won't do it, it doesn't matter. And so continuing to practice, I'll give you one final thing. I'm probably going to break here today, so anybody has any questions or anything, but and be sure to reach out. If you need personal support, I have something called Coach in Your Pocket. It's like a personalized private podcast for you, right? So rather than me talking to everybody right now, I'm talking to someone. I'm talking to you. And so you can reach out. You can send me a message anywhere on any of the platforms that you're listening to. You can leave me a comment. We'll get you a link. You can go to the mindmechanic.net and you can contact me there. There's many ways to contact me. And so just reach out if you're wanting help and you're wanting support in your endeavors. I will help boost you up, give you a jump start, give you clarity, give you confidence, give you direction, help focus you, help brainstorm with you, and get all the crazy thoughts that are in your mind and get them narrowed down so you can do something that you're going to do. That's all I want. I don't care what people do. I just want to help them do. I want to help them take action. And so one of these things that I brought up over and over again, and sometimes it's better to repeat than it's better to learn something new, is that part of this for me is like the backwards bike again. Part of this for all of you, whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is that's not working, and you know that there's something else that could work and you know what it is, then you have to start doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it until it becomes automatic, until it becomes autopilot. Because ultimately, what happens is the intellect, perfect example, there's something wrong with my garage right now. And literally, we're backing out and this one spot where I flip around, I always hit the thing to close the garage door. As I'm backing out, I'm telling my wife, I gotta be careful to not hit that button. And my arm goes right for where the garage door button is, because it's like autopilot. Every time I pull out of the garage, I do this motion. I don't even have to think about it, right? Imagine if you had to think every time that you needed to speak, eat, walk, talk, do anything, right? It'd be a pretty challenging life if every day we had to relearn how to do things. And so a lot of people get in autopilot. We're walking zombies. And we have to be intentional to overwrite what's happening there. The problem is we don't know how long it'll take to get it back to something that may be better for us, that'll work better, that'll be more empowering, et cetera, right? But you have to practice doing the thing. So me getting on here and doing things like this right now is practicing, right? And then at the same time, the goal is to hope that impact someone, right? But I can promise you there's been more opportunity getting on here and doing this than not doing it at all already. And it's only been a week. So what is that for you? Where can you practice more? Where can you go public more? Be show up more, write, design, draw, speak, create, right? Video. What is it that you can do that will make, because it feels good to do this, right? And I know that I'm rewiring my mind. I know I'm rewiring my thoughts. I know I'm doing something to build a practice and get into a new autopilot that says, just do you, just share. So rock and roll, my friends. Happy Monday. This is a Monday as I'm recording this. I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to hearing from you and any questions that you have. Again, I'm going to do my best. I got to remember to keep saying this, but I want this content to be created for you, from you, right? So the more you can ask questions and reach out and let me know things, then I can continue to personalize this for someone, and then it'll affect that someone plus some more someones. Because I know everyone can speak for someone, but someone can't speak for everyone. And so right now, just getting into practice. You can't have people show up if you don't show up. So I got to show up. So rock and roll, my friends. Have a great day. And we'll talk soon. Take care. Bye.